Well, welcome to the Sabbath, our group here, and welcome to the teen and young adult study. So, we'll start out with asking a question. So, how many of you guys keep up with the news? How many of you guys like to watch the news? So. No.
It's depressing. I don't watch it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's not good. Being recorded. You know, world events. You know, a lot of people keep up with world events. They want to know what's going on in the world, politics or whatever. Maybe the headlines in Jerusalem, or you know, some people want to know when they want to know when the end of the world is coming, right? When Christ is going to return, so they can get ready, right? So, people watch. You know, they hear things about the red heifer. You heard about the red heifer, or in Jerusalem, or sacrifices of the Temple Mount, that, you know, all these things that are going on, people are watching for this, rebuilding the temple, so that way they think that's when Christ is going to come back, and they can, then you can get ready, right? So we're told to watch, right? That's kind of what this is about, watch. Does it mean watch world events? You know, I was addicted to talk radio for a long time, listened to a lot of political stuff, and just, it's pretty depressing, and it's pretty, gave me a headache and just made me angry all the time. But so I finally stopped that. But you know, it's. I guess it was the reason a lot of people like to watch those things. They think watch means to see what's going on in the world so they can be ready. So we know Christ is coming. If we think He's coming back in 10 years or 5 years or maybe next year, then we can be ready, right? We can. Okay, maybe I can straighten myself up now and get ready, and, you know, and quit all these other things. But even in Christ's time, so let's go to, I'm going to turn over to, they were asking that question. When, if you guys remember in Luke 21, 5 through 8, everybody's got their electronic Bibles going, Luke 25 through 8. So this is some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see, so they saw this beautiful temple, you know, this gorgeous temple that you saw some of the pictures like they had down there, John had of the temple down there, John Bensinger. But he said, for it's what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And then I was reading some stuff on, you guys heard about Jerusalem being sacked in 70 AD. I was reading some things about that. And I found some articles on this. So this is, so if Christ was there maybe 31 AD or whatever, so in 70 AD, there had been a battle between the Romans and Jerusalem back and forth. So this says, Jerusalem was reclaimed by the Romans after a siege by Titus' army. In AD 70, Titus put down the revolt, captured Jerusalem, and punished rebellious Jewish zealots by salting agricultural land, slaughtered and enslaved thousands of Jews, and looted menorahs and other sacred objects. Thousands of Jewish slaves were brought to Rome from Judea. During a huge triumphal procession commemorated by the Arch of Titus, Jewish prisoners were paraded through the streets and strangled at the Forum. Josephus claimed that altogether over 1 million Jews died as a result of the Roman crackdown. And then another part of it says, it was a pretty awful slaughter, and we have lots of evidence that now between the artifacts that one finds of the first revolt that are scattered throughout this layer of the archaeological record. Arrowhead spears and other kinds of indication are pretty serious hand-to-hand combat in all parts of the city. Other parts of this show, what they did was, they were inside the walls of Jerusalem, and what the Romans did was they built a wall around it. So it cut off all food supply and water inside. So for 2 years, this is about 68 AD, so 2 years, the people inside turned on each other. There were stories of moms eating their own babies and stuff, because they were running out of food and water. Mm-hmm. So It says here, gaping with hunger like mad dogs, lawless gangs went staggering and reeling through the streets, battering upon the doors like drunkards, and so bewildered they broke into the same house two or three times in an hour. Need drilled the starving to gnaw at anything. Refuge, which animals would reject, was collected and turned into food. In the end, they were eating belts and shoes, leather strips off their shields. Tufts of withered grass were devoured and sold in the bundles for 4 drachmas. So, anyway, it was a rough time. So, and Christ predicted this. He said, and then at the end, the Romans burned and sacked the second temple in Jerusalem. The Arch of Titus, Rome, has a frieze showing legionaries carrying candle bra and silver trumpets from the temple. The Romans added to insult to injury by raising the Roman standard of the ruin of the temple with an image of a pig. So that was what they completely destroyed the temple, and all that's left now is they call it the Wailing Wall. You heard of that, where you see the Jews bowing their heads, you know, they were going back and forth, a little part of the wall that they kind of rebuilt later. So this has already happened, a lot of this. So you can't really look for it. And maybe it's a dual prophecy. Maybe it'll happen again. I'm not sure. But, you know, you can't really count on prophecy to get yourself ready. So I heard stories of some people in the church read a book called 1975. I was talking to one of the guys here. And when he was a young man, like you guys, not young, he was a young man. He read this book called 1975, which that was probably back in, you know, the 60s. And he thought, well, the world's going to end in 1975. Christ is going to return. So he didn't do anything. He didn't get married. Didn't do anything. Because he thought, well, what's the point? And there was another one. Someone told me about a book called 88 Reasons Christ Will Return in 1980. Mm. Well, that didn't happen, did it? People predicted the future, so they thought they knew, and probably got, you know, they got ready by watching world events. They thought this stuff would happen, and they were wrong. So, but in Luke 21:34, let's go there.
Luke 21:34.
Yeah. Let me go back to Luke 21. So keep going on. We were on 21 before. Let's go to 34. This is kind of a warning. So he's talking about all these things that are going to happen, but he said in 34, be careful, right, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch. So he said that word again, watch. And pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So he uses that word again, to watch, but he's not saying watch world events. He said, be careful, your hearts will be weighed down with all kinds of bad stuff, right? Carousing, drunkenness, anxieties of life. It comes to everybody. So he said, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape, and that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So we read that, but even in the Old Testament, this kind of gives you a clue. Go back to Deuteronomy 11:16. 11:16 and 17.
You say Roman?
Deuteronomy. Which already gets there. And he was telling the Israelites, and I think it's a warning to us. So 11:16 and 17. Who wants to read that?
I can do that.
Okay.
Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up in the heavens so that it will not rain on the ground. Rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you.
Okay. So, let me find that. Be careful, or you'll be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. So, this kind of gives us a clue. You know, he says, take heed, watch, be careful. So how does this scripture apply to us? You know, I was thinking about that. I don't have any gods in the house that I know of. I don't worship down to anything. You know, I don't bow down. But what do you think he's talking about here?
In what verse are you talking about?
Well, like in 16, that you'd be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. So we don't have little gods or trinkets that we bow down to in our house, you know, or get, you know, in like a statue of Mary or whatever it is. We don't have any of that. But what do you guys think he means by this? What?
Well, just like, it's like one of the commandments, just don't bow down to another god. Yeah. Like, if, like, don't pray to like a statue or whatever. Like, don't think like, for example, don't think like Max is a god, or don't think like someone else is a god.
Yeah, like
these days, a lot of people like to say like, oh, he's a god.
Yeah. Or a celebrity or something.
Yeah.
People worship celebrities, right?
Yeah.
They want their autograph or whatever. But what about? I think this means to me something that you put anything you put above God would be an idol, right? So let's say it's for me, it could be, I gotta be careful, it could be work. You know, I work a lot, so it could be work. I could put work above God. If I spend more time, if I get up in the morning and don't even pray, I just go right to work and don't even pray to God, or, you know, just, that could be an idol. I just worship work, you know, or just want to work and just for money or whatever it is, you know, support my family. But so we gotta put God first. Right? So I think that's what they're talking about there, in my opinion. But then let's go back to another warning, Matthew 26. Go back to Matthew 26.
What verse?
Matthew 26.
Just wait. Matthew
26. I'm sorry, 41.
Okay.
Do you guys remember this part of the story, Matthew 26? Matthew 26, 41. Do you remember he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying to his father, right? Because, well, you know, he was about ready to die for, you know, for us and for them. So in 41 he says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So this was, you know, one of the most important events in Christ's life. This was a, you know, he was about ready to be betrayed, whipped, and beaten, and everybody's leaving him alone. Everybody's scattering, and they, he said, "Stay with me, watch." He said, "Watch," and they all fell asleep. They were just, you know, that's what he said. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is right after Peter said, "I'll never deny you. I'll die with you." Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he falls asleep. He said, couldn't even watch. And then when that came down to it, remember Peter, he threatened his life, he boogied, right? So, but, you know, that's just a picture of us, right? We would, you know, we want to save our flesh. Yeah. So to watch and pray, one of the things we have to watch most closely is ourselves, not just world events. So it's good to know what's going on. You know, it's good to know what's going on in the world. It's good to keep track of things that are happening, but it's not going to keep you from yourself. So what are the things, I had a question here, and maybe you guys can help out. So what are the things that would entice you guys away, what could entice you away?
Friends.
Friends, yeah. Maybe money, fame, worldly pleasures. What do you guys think? Friends is a good answer. Can pull you away from this way of life.
Job, a good one.
A job, yeah. If they tell you to work, you get a good job, I'll pay you $200,000 a year if you work Saturdays.
Yeah, really hard.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But it says also in the Bible, if you choose me over anything else, I will give you more than anyone else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you choose God instead of just $200,000 a year, he'll give you more.
He'll be blessed.
And he won't, yeah, he'll bless you, and he won't bless you with just money. He can bless you with other things, you know.
Yeah.
With a good family, with other things. Like.
you know, some of the people we know and love, we've seen them enticed away from this way of life by, I don't know, you know, this Sunday church looks so much better because they have this huge band, you know, they can be part of this huge worship team. There's, you know, there's 10,000 people in this church, whatever, it's huge, and yeah, you can, and so instead of their weekly 20, 30 people on the Sabbath, right? So they're pulled away. They don't do this way of life anymore. So they're pulled away. They're enticed away.
Like Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
This one.
Yep. Good example.
People are enticed into that because of the presents and gifts and stuff.
And they say Christmas is about giving, right? But it's usually about, man, what am I going to get?
See, like, yeah, like, I'm about Christmas. Like, see, like, I don't think, like, Christmas is a bad thing as long as you don't do it, like, as, like, a lot of people, they think that's when Jesus is born. I think if you do a Christmas just for fun, cause like just like to be with the family, you know, and celebrate time with the family, that's different than just like having Christmas for, you know, thinking that Jesus is born that day, because he didn't really.
So it's just about family and getting together.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I think it's just a, yeah, Christmas is like, yeah.
I can see that point, yeah, because that was one of the hardest things when I was 25 when I came into this way of life, and my family was going to have Christmas, but I decided not to be
with them. Yeah, see, like, that's the same. When I moved here, it's kind of like, because in Ukraine, Christmas is like a really big, big day. It's like a super huge. Same in USA. Yeah. Christmas is like one of the, like, biggest days.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of hard, you know, coming in with us, celebrating.
Yeah.
But then we also have a feast. Feast is like
right.
A Christmas,
this is a big,
you know?
Yeah, big Christmas, kind of like a big celebration, right?
I was gonna say, I feel like I would prefer the feast over.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, same. We like more family, like we're all family. And we're
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's a week long. And yeah, it's a week of celebration.
So God blesses us, right, for not doing that. Yeah. So that's good. Those are a lot of the ways you can be enticed away, and I see that's what my whole point here is. I don't want to see any of you guys or me, you know, or my family being pulled away from this way of life.
So like, another thing is that, like, I mean, like, if you don't do Christmas, then, like, I think it's different. Like, if someone invites you over, like, I think it's okay to go to, you know, it's not, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, it's just as long as you don't celebrate again, like.
Yeah, we know Christ wasn't born there, right?
Yeah. As long as you keep that in mind.
Yeah. So let's go. Let's look at some verses also about end times. Matthew 24. We're pretty close here. Matthew 24. 10. Let's read. Who can read 10 through 13 for me?
I can get that.
I can get you off of it.
At the time, many will turn away from faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm in the end will be saved.
So, you know, we might say, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be deceived, right? You know, I was here in Rapid City in about 1996, 1997. And there's about 7,000 people here keeping the feast at this, you know, the Civic Center over there. It was huge, 7,000 people, and the whole town would have these signs up that say, "We have beef bacon and turkey bacon," and you know, every restaurant in town catered to the church because they 7,000 people were here spending money, you know, so they catered to the whole town. So. And that was just one of the sites out of many across the world, actually. So I don't know how many people were keeping the feast back then, but and the Sabbath and feast and holy days and all that. But now, look, how many people do we have here? Even
it's like
we have.
I'm not sure people just are keeping. They're just not going to the same sites anymore.
Well,
I know.
That's true. But I mean, you don't know. There's a ton that I know have left this way of life, and now they're keeping Christmas and they're doing Easter and. All those things. So, this is coming true, some of this, right? And false prophets. So, they were taught that you don't need to keep this way of life. People in the church, if you stayed too long, they were teaching people, yeah, you can keep Sunday now. You can. You don't have to do these things. And so, so, and I think this is also a future event. I said, so a large portion of the church was and will be pulled into worldliness, being more, you know, more concerned with ordinary self-centered pursuits rather than the spiritual works of God. So, you know, just, you can get caught up in that. You can be more worried about just your job or whatever it is. So that's why we need to watch ourselves, you know. One of the things we need to watch is what we allow ourselves to do, right? Mm-hmm. What we are getting involved with, some of the things we're getting involved with, who our friends are, you know, right? How much time we are spending on this thing or that thing. You know, how close is our relationship to God, actually? That's what counts. Nothing else really matters for eternity's sake. You know, that's what we must watch. That's what the watch is. You know, sure, it's good to, you know, plan for the future. Like, you know, you went to college, right, Sergey? And you're in the military. So you're planning for the future. Caitlin, you went to college. You know, and just, we're all going to school. So sure, it's good to, you know, it's good to plan for a job. You know, your future, a job, you know, marriage, children. You guys probably all want that someday. Probably not thinking about it right now, but you know, if we watch that, if we put all that before our way with God, then it can take you away from this way of life.
One thing is, like, a lot of, you know, like, people, like, I guess the 20s, and they, like, 20s, like, from 20 to 20, like, a lot of people, they like to, like, waste their 20s, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to college, going to be Marine or do this, do that, right. But they just like to party and hang out and, like, have a good time, you know?
Right.
Which is, then, it's harder to get up. Instead of, like, if you focus in 20s, what's really important to you, and then at 30s, you become, like, a wealthy person, you know, have a good life, while the other's struggling,
right?
I guess,
yeah, that's there's,
and I hear a lot of my friends, they like, sometimes I ask, bro, what are you, like, what's your plans, what stuff, like, why are you doing this, why are you doing that, why, like, why are you at parties all the time, like, just, I don't know, I'm a, have a good time in 20s. They always like to make excuses. Life is too short.
Right.
I wanna have a good time in my 20s, and then at 30 I'll start getting serious. And like, you're gonna be 30 exactly. You're gonna waste your 20s drinking and just like doing stupid things instead of like focusing what's important for you, for your family in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and you know what you did was a great thing. Now you know you paid the price. You went to college. You worked hard and. Now you got a good job out of it. You know, I know it's going to pay off for you, Isaac and Caitlin. You know, all you guys.
I hope so.
Oh, it'll pay off.
Isaac, you're going to work with me?
Yeah.
We're going to have big business
things. Yeah. So, I mean.
You have my mom.
You know, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. And that's not what I'm saying by, you know.
Yeah.
But if you put all that stuff above your relationship with God, then it's not going to work. It's not going to work, bro. You might be successful in this world, but. When Christ does return, it's not going to pay off well, is it?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and what happens is something intrudes into our lives, and maybe we follow a bad path, and, you know, we don't have the strength to resist it. You know, we've been watching ourselves, whereas God requires constant diligence and watching and praying always. Watch, you know, watching what we do, what we say, what we read, what we think, you know, who our friends are. All these things are important. You guys have all heard, you know, we talked about it at the feast a little bit, the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25. So we're real close here. Let's go to Matthew 25. And this one always is a scary verse, a scary part of the verses to me. Who wants to read some of that?
What verse?
Matthew 25. Just start in verse 1.
I'll read. Then the kingdom of God, of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom.
Yeah. Yep.
Five of them were foolish and five were proud. And what do you want me to read in?
Well, keep going.
Okay. Just stop me whenever. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in the flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, behold, and the bridegroom come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for a lamp are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, perfect. So my version says, therefore keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. So what's scary to me about that thing is two things. You know, half of them, so these were all people that were pure, right? So all people probably in the church, half of them didn't make it. 50%. And he said, and I don't want to hear the words, I don't know you, right? I don't want to hear that from Christ when he returns. That would be, I wouldn't want that, man. Half of them. So that just gives you a little clue of what can happen if we're not not watching what's going on, watching ourselves. I don't think they're done. I mean, I don't think they're going to go burned in the lake of fire, but he just says, no, you're not in this first resurrection here. What else do you guys get out of that? Anything else out of that? I know we read this in our groups many times, but do you guys catch anything else out of that I missed? Yep, okay. Yep. So let's go then. Stay in Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Right back a little bit. Matthew 24. So these are all these right in this area. A lot of warnings. Matthew 24, 45.
I can read it. Just 45?
Through 47. Let me get there. 45 through 47.
To go to the below.
So do you guys remember this? This is talking about, starting 42, sorry, let's go up there.
Okay. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a home worker knows exactly when a burglar is coming, he will keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready at this time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servants have done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, if the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns, just 47.
Yeah, that's for good. So, you know, consider this context. This tells us that the faithful will be ready for Christ coming and pattern his life accordingly. Have any of you guys ever been robbed?
Yes.
My friend got robbed on his birthday.
All right, have you guys ever been gone or had something stolen out of your car? Caitlin?
Yes.
You have a story.
What happened?
Oh,
I was driving home from dog sitting for Shelby.
From where?
From Shelby's house. I was dog sitting over the weekend, and
her sister.
Yeah, my sister. I had my iPad in the truck with me, and we went to the store to go get stuff because it was Joanna's birthday the next day, so we were going to get stuff for like a cake and everything. And I left my car unlocked, and my iPad was sitting on the top of the seat. And when I got back to my car, my iPad was gone. I haven't seen it since. I know.
Haven't seen it since. So
nope.
And I've had stuff stolen before, but you know, if I knew they were going to steal it, I would have locked it up, right? Or I would have, or you know, and people come in the house. But if you, that's what the warning is. You know, if you knew, you'd be ready. Mm-hmm. And also, but this is another point. Go to Mark 13:37.
Mark 13:37.
Yep, 37 is what I have down here. Let's see what. Yeah, the day again. The day of the hour is unknown. He just says watch, but I'll start in 35. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or midnight or when the rooster crows at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So there's a lot of warning about watching, and because we don't know when Christ is going to return. And it's not just watching world events. So the word watch, again, is the Greek in Strong's is G1127 gregario, I guess is how you pronounce it. It means to keep watch, be vigilant, commanded by one in authority. And watch is used 14 times in the gospel, is what I had down. It depends on your version, of course. But another good one is Revelation 16:15. And this is interesting because we just talked about a thief, right? And being ready. So what's Revelation 16:15 say?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Now, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed.
Well, you know, it's just it seems like a funny scene, but he's coming like a thief. We just read about a thief, right? So he says, I'm coming as a thief. You're not going to know, in other words.
Right.
So, you know, don't have that iPad sitting out, right?
So he's
coming as a thief.
Right. Well, but, I think the close thing, too, like, you don't want to be trying to defend yourself in your underwear
you
or whatever.
Don't
you
want to pants down.
You want to, you want to be ready for anything, I think. Yeah, that's what he's saying here.
Yeah. So, you know, Revelation 16 is not just real prophetic information about the future, like some type of crystal ball, but the prophecy is capped with a command to watch. That's what it's saying, watch. To watch and keep choosing not to remain vigilant, choosing not to guard our spiritual condition from atrophy. You know, we can't become complacent and neglectful to our own obedience to the commandments to watch and keep what is truly important to this particular scripture. So, you know, the point is to just keep watching yourself. You know, watch what you're doing. Just be vigilant of what you're doing. Don't let this world pull you down, because it can happen easily. Revelation 3:1-3. Let's go there. And this is talking about, so this is the revelation of prophecy, and he's talking about the church in Sardis. And Will, can you read that for me? One through three.
Which Will?
I'm sorry, this Will. You read the end of it.
Okay. I don't go by Will.
To the angel of the church in Sardis, right. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God in the seven stars. Kate, I know your deeds. You have a redemption.
Reputation.
Reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains. And about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God.
Then verse 3, I'll finish it. Yeah. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. So now he's talking, he's getting a little more personal. He's talking about you, or me, right? So he says, repent, you know, wake up, repent. Or else I'm going to come when you don't even expect it. You know, we never know when our next day is, right? I was here 5 years ago, and I have a younger, you guys might not know, some of you guys might not know this, I have a younger brother, exactly two years younger than me. And so we shared the same birthday and on July 22nd, but he had a heart attack. He's gone. So he shouldn't have died before me, right? But, because he's younger than me, but that doesn't mean anything, right? We don't know when our time's up. So we need to be ready now, all the time be ready. So plainly Christ will come when we do not expect him. But, we might be able to, he says, you'll know when the leaves change or, when things happen, you'll know when it's getting close, but we don't know the exact things, right? Not exact timing. Let's see, what else? We've covered that. Watch all we've given. So, yeah, we're about done here, guys. Here we go. So he knows if we are faithful in little in the. So he knows if we're faithful in the little, the mundane, the unexciting, we'll also be faithful in the truly great things that lie ahead. So the things of everyday life, getting up to pray, right? Getting up in the morning to pray every day, or spending time in the reading the Bible a little bit every day. Man, we got things to do, right? We got to get going. We got to get to work. We got things to do. We got school, whatever it is. But just take that time first. Give God that first, and every day just do it, and you're gonna find things going to go a lot better for you. There's a few more scriptures on watch that let's read a couple more. Luke 12. We might have read this one. I don't remember. Luke 12. Let's see if we read this one. 42-47. Did we read that one? See, all this, starting in 35, that even my title is watchfulness. So, 42-47. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right there.
Yes, we did read that one.
See, remember he's talking about, we did read that one?
About the servant who gives responsibility to the servant.
Yeah.
Over his household.
Yep. Okay, and then 1 Corinthians 16:13.
No, I think we're at that one.
No,
16:15.
1 Corinthians 16:13. Okay. Did we read that?
No.
Read that
one.
16:13.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
want me to read it?
Yep.
Okay, it says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong."
Okay, good point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be on guard, watch, right? I thought that was a good one. 1 Thessalonians 5. That's a hard word for me to say. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-9.
Ooh.
So, who hasn't read yet? Who can read?
You haven't read yet.
All right, 1 through 9. You got it, bud?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Now, brothers and sisters, about time and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you. So that's good instructions. And then the last one I have here is Luke 12. We might have read this one. Luke 12:37. Did we read that one? Let's see.
I didn't think so.
12:37. Yeah, Luke 12:37.
Blessed are those. Oh, Isaac, come on. You haven't read it.
It's your phone. My bad, last
one. Here, Isaac. Never mind.
Psych. 12:27, you said?
Yeah.
37.
Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will guard himself to serve and have them recline on the table and will come up and wait on them.
Okay. So this one says, in my version, it says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. So this version says watching. So, same thing. So, we need to watch. And what are they watching for? Again, you know, they're watching for what they're doing to make sure they're there at the wedding banquet. Yep. So, you know, watch means keep awake, be vigilant, to be watchful. It means keeping an eye on the world around us and, most important, paying attention to our spiritual condition. And then the last thing I had was also watch counterfeits. You know, we had some fun. You guys all know Andy, but we were talking about counterfeits. So, what do you guys think? How's it look? For those of you that can't see this, I got a $100 bill here.
Is it fake?
Well, read it. But it looks pretty good, doesn't it? Huh?
Yeah, but is it fake, though? I think it's
well,
fake.
Read it. Read it. What's it say?
Where exactly? A mansion.
It's fake.
What's it say?
Motion picture use only.
Motion picture use.
If you want to be rich in a movie.
So he bought a pack of like $10,000 for $9 off of Amazon of fake $100 bills, right? But it looks pretty real. You know, if I wouldn't try to pass it off, but
if you look hard,
the feather and stuff. You can tell it's not it.
But some of the new $100 bills have that on it. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty
good. It's like, if you look like that.
Right.
That's what they usually do.
But yeah, at first glance, it looks like a $100 bill.
Right. Well, and I think the only reason you guys know that's not a real $100 bill is because you've seen the real thing, and you know what it looks like, and you've felt it in your hand, and you know what to look for. And the reason this one doesn't look real is because you know the real one better than you know the fake one.
Right.
So.
So, but it's a counterfeit. It's close, right? And that's what the enemy does. He's pretty close. He gets real close. So let's go a couple more scriptures. 1 John. Let's go to 1 John 4:1.
Your friends.
1 John 4:1. What's it say? Go ahead.
Joel has to read it. She has more.
Okay.
Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
So, don't believe everything you hear, in other words, everything you read. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Yeah, it's got to be, right? That's what people believe. But so test them. And how do you test them? By, that's right, by the, there you go, by the Word of God. If it doesn't match up to what the Word of God is, and you should know that, you got, your grandpa was, get your nose in the book, right? How many times did he say that in our lifetime?
Hundreds,
thousands of times.
Make it out of yourself.
Every week.
Second Thessalonians. Who can say that word?
Thessalonians.
Thank you. 2:9.
Second Thessalonians.
Yeah, Second Thessalonians. it's like cinnamon, right?
It's like a Chinese word, huh?
2:9.
Just 9?
Yeah, just 9.
Even he who is coming according to working of Satan with all the power and signs, lying wonders.
So the coming of the lawless one will be according to how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways of wickedness to deceive those who are perishing. So people will be deceived. They'll be fooled by a counterfeit. Galatians 1, 6, 7. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
Okay. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ.
Hmm. So, even Paul was shocked, right? That people were turning away so quickly. And so they just learned this, the truth and the way, and then they were turned away pretty fast. And Hebrews, the last one I had was here, was Hebrews 13:9.
I was just there. Hebrews, where'd it go?
Hebrews what?
13:9.
Hebrews D.
So I can read that one. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is no benefit to those who do so. So just talking about being, you know, don't be carried away by some strange teaching that you think is pretty cool. Wow, I think I like this guy. You know, he just because he's cool, so I can be carried away by his teaching, even though it doesn't match up with what the Bible says. And then I had...
Thank you.
I had one more. Sorry, Matthew. Did we read this one? Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Matthew 24.
I think so. Matthew, where we go?
Matthew 24?
Yeah, Matthew 24.
I think we did.
Matthew 13.
Matthew 13, sorry.
13, 24. Oh, you got it there. Matthew
gotcha.
13, 24?
Yeah.
We did not.
So let's read 24 through 30. Who can read that one?
That's how you sound.
I can do it.
24
through what?
30.
Okay. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came with and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weed also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie it in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'"
You know, that's pretty kind of a scary scripture, because that means probably people in the church, I've heard this talked about before, and it makes sense. So this is people in the church that they're going to be wheat and tares, you know, or they call them tares, or the so there'll be good wheat and weeds growing together. And some people, you know, you won't be able to, they're so close to each other, but at the very end, they'll be collected, they'll be separated, right, from the sheep, from the goats, kind of thing. So, and Christ said, on my right hand will be the sheep, the left hand will be the goats. And he'll say, "The goats depart from me, I never knew you." So, and he's talking about here, there'll be, that those bundles will be burned, the weeds. So just be careful, even people that can be pulled away from people within our own ranks, I guess. So just be careful of that too. And then, the last one, let's see, I had was 2 Timothy, this is how to defeat the master counterfeiter, 2 Timothy 3:16. So this is how you defeat the master counterfeiter. 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
I can't hit that one.
Okay.
All scripture is God-breathing and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that if the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Every good work. Good. So, scripture is God-breathed, right? So this is, like we heard today from John, this word, this scripture is holy, it's sanctified, it's set apart. So we can use it to make sure that we're not deceived by a counterfeiter. So make sure that we're not deceived by a counterfeiter. So that's all I have, guys. I have a few discussion questions. See if we can get anything. So what is it? We don't need to disclose anything we don't want to tell, but what is it we need to watch about ourselves? What are some of the things we need to watch?
Go over that shiny thing.
Okay. Like the shiny car.
Shiny car and anything, you know, whatever it is, shiny, you want to go for it. It looks nice. You don't really need it. You shouldn't go for it, but...
My dad says this way, before you buy anything, ask two questions. Do you really need it or do you want it?
Yeah. Because how many...
Because it's different if you want something and you need something.
Yeah. I don't know how many times we bought our kids toys. Isaac, I'm going to pick on you, remember. I remember you wanted this Buzz Lightyear so bad you could taste it when you were about 3 or 4 years old. We went to Denver and...
I remember that Buzz Lightyear.
That Buzz Lightyear. And you played with him for maybe a couple months. And then he finally... Something broke or whatever. But he was just... He just sat around then.
For a long time.
Did you?
I think something broke him up, threw it away.
Okay. I still miss that toy. No.
Yeah, I actually do. I'm pretty sure Mom tossed it.
I don't remember. But I say, you're okay, I won't pick on you anymore. But anyway, there was a...
It happened to me multiple times when you, like, I bought something, but then you, like, play for one day or, like, use it one day and just boom, it's gone.
Oh, like you buy something, but then you didn't use it at all.
Yeah, you buy something, you use it all, or you buy it. You know, I bought cars before. I really wanted this car, man. And for about a couple months,
then you regret.
It was cool.
Yes,
but,
I did.
You know, I bought it for a couple months. It was really cool to buy this thing. But then you're just like, it's just now I got a car payment. And I hate the thing, you know, but I still got to pay for it, you know. So those are some of the things. Number two is what in the world distracts you the most?
My phone.
Good
phones, for sure.
Phones, yeah.
Social media.
You know, you should be. It's so easy to get on here with all the social media. Social media. I'm only on one or two social medias, right? I'm only on Facebook, maybe.
And Twitter.
I don't even get on Twitter.
I don't have Twitter. I don't know what Twitter means. Yeah. Actually. Like, I don't know how people use it. Like, pointless.
I bet you use it.
Or don't, actually.
Okay, good. It's, I don't know. It's
but you can be, when you're addicted, when the first thing you do in the morning is look at your phone, right? Mm-hmm. You got to check all these other things. Mm-hmm. Check all your accounts and make sure everything's good. You know, I check email. And so that's, that can be a distraction, right? It can be a tool. We have our Bibles on here. I have, probably 100 versions of the Bible sitting on this thing, this computer.
Honestly, I think we should all just, I don't know. I think the whole world should be stuck with flip phones.
Yeah. Back
only for the calls.
Yeah.
If you need something, call.
Yeah, there you go. We'd have a lot more time on our hands, wouldn't we?
Yep.
I know. We still waste it.
How?
People are going to waste time.
You find other things.
Better than sitting at dinner eating with a bunch of friends and one of these guys will use their phone. I'm not gonna point my fingers at anyone.
And then another question. Okay, yeah, good point. And number three, can we predict Christ's return by listening to news and watching world events?
No.
Because people are watching for the, the temple to be built and then sacked again. But it's already happened.
It's not going to happen. It's not against weather. Like, you can predict the weather, but.
Yeah, and sometimes, not very well.
I mean, people are predicting Christ coming back since he died.
Yeah.
Since he died. See, they're like, oh, he's going to be back next year, the year after.
Yeah.
See, the way I always think is that, people only can predict things that people made. People cannot predict the things that God made.
Right. Uh-huh.
Weather, even weather. Weather changes every second. People, like, a lot of times I go on my phone, uh-huh, weather should be this. Boom. Next day, it's not. Uh-huh. You know, people can be exact, especially, like, about Christ returning. Only God knows when it's going to happen, and Jesus.
He even said, I don't even know the day or the hour. Christ said that, yeah. Right?
I mean, even, like the weather, you can get a general idea of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But you can't, you know...
Well, yeah,
the exact temperature is going to be at this time of the day. Yeah. And people are saying, well, they're trying to get down to the year he's going to come.
Yeah.
People even get down to the day, you know, it's like...
What, 2012, September?
You'd be lucky if you got in the 1,000-year mark, you know? You'd be lucky if you even got that when he's going to come.
Who knows? I know, you know, he's going to return sometime. It's going to happen. You know,
getting in what generation is going to be.
He said 6,000 years, right? We're getting close to that, but... We don't know. And then the next question I have is how can we be like one of the five virgins, or, you know, the ones about the servants, remember, the ones that had talents? You know, one out of three of those guys didn't do very well, right? You know, so really? What can we do to be like the five wise ones? What can we be doing in our lives?
The guys with the talents, you know, the one guy just got scared.
Fear.
So don't live your life in fear.
Yeah,
take a risk.
Yeah, fear was a big one, right? The other two did take risk, right? They went out and invested it.
They invested it and doubled their money.
They took a risk in their life. They weren't trying to play it safe.
They could have gone out and lost everything.
Yeah, they could have.
Because it was a gamble in the end of the day.
But
they were smart and doubled it.
Yeah. The one guy, you're right, he was fearful because he buried it. And he didn't do anything with it. And that's didn't turn out very well for him.
Right? No. Right, like the five wise, you know, just keep a bag, you know, be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared.
You never know when you keep a spare tire in your car for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jesse was kind of giving the analogy a few weeks ago about the parable. Filling our oil lamp is like, you know, being filled spiritually. So praying every day and reading your Bible every day. And
don't look at me.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking. But, you know, praying every day and reading your Bible every day. But, like, if I pray every single day, that's not going to fill up your lamp. If I read my Bible and I go to church, that's not going to fill up your lamp. So, like, you're responsible for your own oil. You have to fill up your own lamp.
Yeah, you can't get on somebody's coattail. You can't, mm-hmm. You know, if they're going to go in. Yeah, you can't be grabbing onto theirs, right? It doesn't work that way. Yeah, so, yep, good point. And then the last one I have is, how can we be aware of counterfeits?
Test them.
Well, Caitlin, you work in a bank. How do you test a counterfeit?
You work at the bank?
Mm-hmm. We have
since
a marker.
You
have a pen, and let's say you mark a real dollar or a real $100 bill and a fake one, the real one, the ink will just disappear and it'll go away. But if you mark a fake one, it'll turn black.
Mm.
The ink will be pitch black, and you'll know right away if it's fake.
So on money, that's, you know, that's a good way to check out counterfeits. Or
like a Rolex watch, you know, if you get a Rolex watch and it ticks, don't buy it.
Something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
So you got to know the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to know the real thing. So if someone has a counterfeit scripture or a counterfeit book they give you and say, hey, read this, it's gonna change your life, you know, but it doesn't match up with what the word says. It's a counterfeit, right? Anything else you can think of counterfeit wise all right, guys, thank you. That's all I have.